Bad attitudes usually are displayed outwardly in the form of our words and our actions. Things like criticalness, rebellion, impatience, self-pride, ego, uncooperative, discouragement, independence, presumption, arrogance, self-centeredness, rudeness, groaning, mourning, murmuring, disrespectful tones of voice, rolled eyes, sarcasm, stomping feet, angry look, hitting the things. These are examples of bad attitudes which Christians should reject. Amen? We are the representatives of God, folks, and our behavior is part of our demonstration, our relationship with God. Okay, listen, if you can constantly have a bad attitude, don't tell people you're a Christian. Okay? Please, don't tell them you're from Church of Pentecost. Do me that favor. Don't tell them I'm your pastor. We should reject those things, amen? And we are the representative of God, and our behavior is a part of our demonstrating our relationship with God. And so we want people to see what God wants them. We need to witness Christ. We need to witness Christ and other people by being the imitators of God through our words, our attitudes, and our actions. And we have spent a lifetime developing patterns of sinful attitudes by rebelling against God. Amen? We've all been there in our thinking. We do it in our thinking. We do it in our behavior. We rebel against the things of God. And with commitment, true repentance, and proper discipline, we can replace these sinful bad attitudes with God's godly behavior. Now, if you want things to be different in your life, the number one thing you need to change is not your job, not your circumstances, your environment, your relationship, or even your income. The number one thing you need to change is you. Come on. You must first change your attitude. Now, your attitude can either be a good attitude or it can be a bad attitude. So let's be specific. Your attitude is determined by the collection of the dominant thoughts in your mind. Come on. So in determining the proper kind of attitude for change, okay, you have to get that place. You're kind of like the prodigal son when he came to himself. You have to get to that place and say, wait a minute, I can't keep acting like this. You know, I can't keep alienating my family. I can't keep alienating my friends. I can't keep alienating God and the church and on, right? So in determining the proper kind of attitude for change, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Right? You got to have that attitude. Years ago, people were wearing bracelets with their initials of the very probing question, what, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Before you ever do, you think. Okay, whatever you do, you need to think, what would Jesus do? I think one of the biggest problems with so many people that get themselves in predicaments is they don't think before they act. They don't think before they speak. Just blurt out whatever comes out. And what that does oftentimes is shows our ignorance. Come on. Ooh. Ouch. So maybe a more probing question would be this, WWJT, what would Jesus think? Huh? Somebody go out and make those bracelets and make a killing here, huh? So before you ever do anything, you need to think, what would Jesus think? How would Jesus think? That's how I want to think. The greatest news is that you can know with absolutely certainty that Jesus thinks. Amen? He thinks. All of that is required is for you to do is read your Bible, and you'll know what Jesus thinks. Come on. And then you can read it. Don't do you any good. Read it if you don't do it. Right? Napoleon Hill, he's the author of Think and Grow Rich. He said this: what the mind of a man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. What'd your dad always tell you, Nick? Do whatever you put your mind to. Can't means you don't want to. They weren't allowed to say they can't, because you have to put your mind to it. If you put your mind to it, you can do whatever you want. You know, I think one of the reasons that I begin to think that way is because when they were building that Tower of Babel, the Lord said they could do whatever they put their mind to. God knows the power of the mind. Okay? It is a very powerful thing. And then you get a mindset of people that are going to do something. Look out. And that's why your pastor talks to you and tells you, encourages you, we need to be soul winners. And we get a mindset of Church of Pentecost, we're going to be soul winners. We can see a mighty revival. Amen? So we can do whatever we have up here. We can achieve it if we intend to. So if you have a negative or a bad attitude, you will not conceive or believe it, and you most certainly will not achieve your goals. Right? Success will never come to you unless you are willing to change your attitude, which will change by what you feed your mind. Amen? Years ago, I was working, doing construction and for myself and remodeling kitchens and bathrooms. And I took this job from a guy who, he was a slumlord. He had a house down in downtown Akron. And I went in this place. Every morning I had to bang on the door to get him to let me in, because they were out all night and they were crashed all over the house. So finally, when I'd let them, they'd get me, let me in, and they'd flop back on the bed. And then all of a sudden around noon, 1 o'clock, I'd hear rumbling around in the place, and they're waking up. And then their music goes on. And God help me. And I heard disgusting, filthy stuff. And I one day I couldn't take it anymore. I said, how can you listen to this garbage? And these young girls had this on, and they were talking filthy stuff about these girls. I said, you're okay with people talking about the gender, your gender like this? But that's the stuff they fed their mind all the time. We have to be so careful what we are feeding our mind. So it is also important to understand that success will never manifest around you until it's established within you. So how can we blame others and say, this person's fault and that person's fault? Why? What are you feeding yourself? What are you putting in? See, developing the right kind of attitude within you is a scriptural and spiritual assignment. So let's look at some ways to develop the right kind of attitude. All right, where do you get the right kind of attitude? Ephesians 4, verse 23 says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. The scripture gets very specific, folks, when discussing the kind of attitude that you need to have, that you should have. So Philippians 2:5 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Now, the contemporary English version in Philippians 2:5 puts it this way, and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. Okay? Now, you may be thinking, that sounds good, but how do I receive or how do I develop that kind of attitude? You have to read your Bible. Not only read it, but do what it says. Amen? So if you're having trouble in your marriage, you must get rid of your old attitudes about your spouse before you can embrace the new mindset. Amen? If you're having trouble with your children, you must get rid of old attitudes about them before you can embrace a new mindset. If you're having trouble with your boss on your job, you must get rid of your old attitudes about him or her before you can embrace a new mindset. Now, we don't want to a lot of times. I'm justified in thinking about the way I am about my wife. I'm justified in thinking about my kids. I'm justified in thinking about my boss. Well, I promise you, if you have a good attitude, nothing will ever get resolved. You'll never get a promotion. Now, you ask yourself, does God want me to have the attitude toward my wife like I do, or toward my husband like I do? No. Does God want me to think way toward my kids the way I do? No. Does God want me to treat them the way I do? No. Should I act this? Am I justified in treating my boss like a jerk? No. The Bible has things to say about this stuff. You must change, renovate your thinking before you can replace the old with the new. Okay? Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now the Strong's Concordance says it in the Greek is akonois, which means renewing, which means renovation. So when you renovate a house, you have to take out the old, you have to take out the unsafe things and put in new, right? You are replacing what isn't wanted with what is wanted. If you're renewing your mind, you have to take out the old way of thinking and put in the new. You know what stops us a lot of times, though, is peer pressure. Well, I don't want people around me at work thinking I'm trying to brown-nose the boss. How about just telling them, God got a hold of you, and you're doing what you're supposed to do. Huh? I'm supposed to work this job as unto the Lord. I'm supposed to treat my spouse as unto the Lord. I'm supposed to love my kids. The Bible says they are a blessing. Just do what you're supposed to do. Romans 12:2. In the New Living Translation, says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." So you and no one else, okay? Point your finger at yourself. You and no one else brings the change in your life. You determine your attitude and the kind of day that you will have. You and you alone. Nobody else can do it for you. Okay, if you want to get up and go to work or go to school or whatever you're doing, and you want to have a good day, nobody else can change that for you. See, proper planning, preparing your attitude for tomorrow. Okay, things for you to do before you go to sleep each night. Create a to-do list of things that you plan to accomplish tomorrow. All right? List them by priorities based on your goals in the six major areas of your life: spiritual, family, financial, physical, mental, and social. Okay? Again, list them in priorities based on your goals in six major areas of your life: spiritual, family, financial, physical, mental, and social. Now listen, be like Santa, make your list and check it twice, okay? Then journal the great things that happen to you during your day, okay? Remember those things and remember to thank God for them. Regardless of how your day went, you have something to rejoice over. Like I said, my grandfather always said, "Lord, you woke me up this morning, you didn't have to, but you did." You have something you can be thankful. You can have something you can rejoice over. I guarantee you, folks, you'll sleep better at night if you end your day by praising God. Come on. Never go to bed mad. Never go to bed frustrated with your spouse, with your children, with your boss. Never. I'm going to have a new day tomorrow. You see, if it's something that you can, if it's a problem that can be resolved instantly, right? I'm sorry. If you can't resolve it instantly, write it down on a piece of paper, put it on your nightstand, pray over it, lay it down there, and ask God to deal with it while you have sweet sleep. See, he's up all night anyways. You're not. Let him worry about it. Right? Proverbs 3:24 says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Come on. Here, God, I'm laying this over here. Or, you know, if you're arguing with your spouse, agree to disagree and say, we'll take care of it later. You know, some people, they get mad at each other. I don't care where they're at, they got to go at it. Really? You know, me and my wife, we got this look. We'll deal with this later. But right now, we're here with company. We're here with family. We're not going there. I don't want people to think I'm ignorant. Come on. We all have disagreements, but it doesn't mean you got to deal with it right then. You ever see people? You ever see the news? How some people go off? I'm like, what in the world is going on with them people? Are they out of their minds? Of course they are. You know? Well, I can't control. If you're not in control and God's not in control, then who's in control, folks? Come on. If you can't control your temper, God's definitely not in control of that temper. And you're not in control of your temper, then who is? It's scary. You should be able to control all of your emotions. Come on. We just give our emotions to God. He made them anyways, didn't he? So, another thing you can do to feel better tomorrow. Clean up. Clean your house up. Pick up. So you'll be ready to go in the morning. The last thing you want to see is a pile of dishes in the morning. Come on. Last thing you want to see is stuff laying all over the bathroom floor. That put anybody in a bad mood. So clean up. Believe it or not, you'll be glad you did when you wake up in the morning. Now, it may seem like a small thing, but it gives you a better start on the day when you don't have to have a lot of leftover chores first thing in the morning. Come on. Lay out what you plan to wear. That'll save you a lot of time in the morning, eliminate indecision, wipe up the time delays, and ultimately save you some frustration. Plan how you will dress your mind tomorrow. You thought dressing yourself. No, dress your mind. How are you going to dress your mind in the morning? Lay out what CDs or what teaching you will listen to on your phone. Never just settle for what happens to be airing on your commute, on the radio. It needs to be concise, a conscious decision on your part. I'm going to listen to this so I have a good day. Begin your day with a spiritual hour. Pray as often as you can during the first hour of your day. I know it's not always easy, and sometimes you wake up late, but as often as you can, give God time in the morning. Amen? And Psalms 5:3, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. My morning expectation brings daily manifestation in his reward. Proverbs 24:14, so shall you know skillful and godly wisdom to be thus to your life, if you find it. Then shall there be a future and reward, and your hope and your expectations shall not be cut off. Begin each day filled with the supernatural expectation about the manifestation, folks, of God's presence, God's peace, God's protection, God's promises, God's power, God's promotion, and God's provision. Begin every day with a positive expectancy about the supernatural favor, divine connection, relativity in sight, and yes, and even your goals being accomplished. You see, you have to keep the main thing, as Brother Teddy would say. Keep the main thing. Jesus, folks, Jesus was focused. He knew why he was here. Amen? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus stayed focused on his mission. He kept the main thing, the main thing. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. I hope this helped you today. Amen. We want to, sometimes we just need to understand because we needed that attitude adjustment. Right? A little tune-up. Get over your attitude. I'm just kidding. She's a great attitude. All right, we need to get over our attitudes, don't we? We need to have a good attitude. Lord, bless each one. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.